Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
That's Monday. Wherever you're getting up to go this morning. And I assume at this hour it's a job. I hope it's as much fun as this job is. It's not really a job. The same stuff I did in high school. But the money's better.
You still throw spitwads at us sometimes.
Well, frankly, you deserve it. You got it coming. Happy Monday. We're not even at the part where you dance yet. And stretch 2, 3, 4.
Goodbye, baby. Yes, I'm going. Yes, I'm going.
Sean Spicer, somewhere in D.C. this morning, considering going into the witness protection program because the president is tweeting again and has already made it a very hard day for the spicy Spicerman. Details on those tweets coming up. We'll get to the top six at six in a second. So Dr. Most will be on, too. Hey, so Mary, I met a friend of yours yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's
that? So, you know, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm minding my own business.
Where
I'm just
you?
Moving along. I had a precautionary ultrasound yesterday.
Oh.
Just, you know, because I had a little blood clot spring.
Oh, okay.
The spring of blood clots.
On a Sunday, you had an ultrasound?
Yeah, I just had some swelling in my leg, and they said, "Yeah, you know, with your history, we need to check this out."
Ooh.
So I go to get the ultrasound, and the woman that did the ultrasound, very nice young woman, basketball player for Edwardsville, I've been working at CDH Hospital out in DuPage County for like 3 years. We're talking and stuff. And it's awkward because I'm not wearing pants, you know, because you're doing an ultrasound.
I hate when that happens.
She couldn't be nicer, couldn't be more of a pro. And the conversation coming up, you know, what do you do? Do you know, I'm on the radio. I said, "Well, who does your traffic?" So Mary Vandeveld. She goes, "That's my mom's friend."
Oh.
Karen Cargis?
Cargis.
Cargis, sorry. Karen Cargis.
Yeah.
Karen Cargis, Mary's friend.
Yeah, Karen used to babysit for my
your
youngest,
kids.
For Will. Yeah?
Yeah.
Karen's awesome.
How about that for a small world?
Yeah. Steve, wow. Did you at least have clean underwear on?
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Did you have the gown?
Were you wearing underwear?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Say.
Just the awkward
first things
gown.
First.
That would have been really awkward.
This is why they always tell you wear clean underwear. You never know.
That's yeah. Right. My dad always said that too, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. I change every 15 minutes.
And that's awkward.
Wow, so hi to Jim and Karen, right? Isn't Jim the husband?
You got the husband right too.
And Kimberly. Kim is the was the ultrasound tech.
Oh, so Kim did your ultrasound.
Yeah, I believe Kim's a tech, right? What are you laughing about?
Nothing.
That's kind of a evil laugh.
Why
there.
Is that weird?
Why is that
Kim's
funny?
Kim's awesome. Oh, I can't wait to hear about this.
Yeah. Well, you can't. Well, you can hear about it because of the Hippocratic Oath. And,
that's right.
Darn the hippo.
The hippo laws.
That is true.
Are you hoping to get video, Mary, or something? What?
No.
I didn't like that evil laugh.
I didn't either. And honestly, I don't. I love you, but I don't want to see your ultrasound.
Oh, Kim is a lot of fun. She is a fun girl.
She played basketball in college.
She did. Yeah, she's super tall.
Very talented.
Super tall girl.
So after the ultrasound, we went out and we played there at the basketball court at CDH. She
I
smoked
bet.
Me.
She mm-hmm. whipped yeah. you, I'm
yeah.
sure.
Funny.
I wouldn't play basketball.
But how about
Jim?
That for a small world? There I am, minding my own business, getting an ultrasound, and there it is, Mary Vandeveld's friend.
Aw, hi, Kim.
There you go.
I just saw her parents in church yesterday.
And you didn't know this was coming, did you?
No,
huh?
I did not.
No. All right, we're going to combine things. We're going to do the top six at six right into our friend Paul Coit, but why don't you do the traffic first?
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Well, he's at it again. Sean Spicer woke up this morning and went, zippity-doo-dah, it's Monday. Maybe things will change at the White House. Yeah, not so much. President Trump started tweeting this morning, and oh, is he tweeting. Oh, man, is he tweeting. And we'll get to the main story, which is, of course, London here shortly. But first, let's start about 47, 8 minutes ago, so what, a little after 6:30 East Coast time, from the account of Donald J. Trump, at Real Donald Trump, President of the United States. Here's your POTUS. People, the lawyers in the courts can call it whatever they want, but I'm calling it what we need and what it is, in quotes, or I should say in caps, A travel ban. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not a travel ban because Sean Spicer said it wasn't a travel
Specifically,
ban.
Specifically, he said it's not a travel ban.
And Kellyanne Conway said it's not a travel ban. Said everybody said it's a travel ban. That's fake news.
And they argued against in the courts that it wasn't a travel ban.
It's not a travel ban. Okay. Well, the president says it's a travel ban. That's not good because here's tweet two.
This is good.
The Justice Department should have stayed with the original travel ban, not the watered-down politically correct version they submitted to the Supreme Court.
So let me just
Why
get this right.
Why doesn't he just punch himself in the face?
So let me just get this right. The original travel ban then was a travel ban.
It was a travel ban, and now you send it to the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court almost has to consider the precedent of what the president has said. How do you argue that it's not a specific ban on Muslims, a religious class, if the President of the United States is saying it is?
Okay, read the next one.
The Justice Department should ask for an expedited hearing of the watered-down travel ban. Is that the one I just read?
No.
Oh, that's a different one.
It should ask for an
expedited hearing of the watered-down travel ban before the Supreme Court and seek a much tougher version.
Right. So that's three tweets in a row.
Right, and then finally...
With travel ban. And the travel ban is capitalized, too, in this one.
Yes. And then so is this, extreme vetting. In any event, we are extreme vetting people coming into the U.S. in order to keep our country safe. The courts are slow and political. I think, really, most of your lawyers are going to say, do me a favor, don't insult the courts before we present our case. Don't contradict everything we've said leading up to this.
Right.
Because there's a legitimate argument the president could make that he has the powers... the constitutionally mandated powers to do this.
Yes.
But if you're backing up the other side's case because you can't stay off Twitter, well, why are we spending time even talking about it then?
And also, have a meeting with your staff. So Sean Spicer parades out in front of the press every day, which we're grateful that there is still a press briefing, make sure you're on the same page.
I'm telling you, if I'm Spicer, I get up this morning and go, I quit. I quit today.
I'm done.
That's item number one. Pennsylvania jury is going to consider a sexual assault case against Bill Cosby, once America's father figure, once America's moral force. A woman claimed she was drugged and sexually assaulted by Cosby back in, I think it was 2004. It was just under the statute of limitations on this. Well, many other women aren't, so she's fighting the battle for others. That trial gets underway, and a couple of members of the Cosby family, the TV family, are supposedly going to be in court supporting him. State of Illinois, years behind in scoring state science tests. And officials blame the budgets. Does that mean there's like 30-year-olds walking around going, what did I get on my science exam?
Remember, those tests were impossible.
But, what science tests are we talking about, though?
But it's probably, well, there's several different tests that they have.
Yeah, but is this stuff they needed for college? I don't understand. I need more details on this story. And President Trump is introducing a plan this week calling on state, cities, and corporations, privately corporations, to pay for rebuilding roads, bridges, railways, and waterways. Well, how do you think that's going to go here with no budget? How do you think that's going to fly?
It's not going to fly.
It's not going to fly.
Literally.
You need an infrastructure bill from the government, and you need the feds to pay for it. Otherwise, nothing's going to happen. Investigators of possible collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign looking at Jared Kushner's meeting with the head of something called VEB, V-E-B. It's a bank owned by the Russian state. Don't forget, Thursday is the James Comey hearing on Capitol Hill. And my friend Paul Coy joins us live from London to talk about the major story, and that is the terrorist attack Saturday night in London. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
I am doing fine, and nice to talk to you, and I'm sorry that you've been struck again.
Yeah, I know. Well, what can you do? You know, it's happened again. It's happening all over the world, but it seems to be our turn at the moment, doesn't it?
Well, but I love your attitude. I talked to Paul yesterday, and you know, you're not going to tell your family to stay in the house until your kids until they're 21. You're going to live your life.
No, absolutely, and that's the view of everybody in this country. I think I said to you before, I think when we've had the other attacks, even when we go back to 7/7, everybody's got the idea and just said, look, there's no way that we're going to show that this is going to break us, or people are going to start being scared. People aren't going to travel out on the buses, on the underground. You're going to go out and everybody's going about their business as they normally would. It's not going to affect people. I mean, obviously, it's very upsetting. Obviously, people are angry, but, you know, it's not going to affect their day-to-day lives because they can't let it. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and last night, the Ariana Grande concert in Manchester. Give people some geography here. How far is Manchester from London, and where is it?
Right. Well, Manchester is about 100. Well, I say about is exactly 163 miles away, which, as far as you're concerned, is probably not very far. Whereas for us, it is a long way. So it's we're talking right up in the north. Right up in the northwest of the country, and London, as you know, is down in the southeast. Mm-hmm. So that's something's just collapsed there. So that's where Manchester is, and basically the Ariana Grande concert. That's what happened yesterday, and that was in Manchester. Over what happened with the Manchester attacks, which were a couple of weeks ago,
and it could have been less than 24 hours after the Saturday night attacks. Nobody would have faulted anybody if they said, "Listen, we're not going to do this right now because we want to keep people safe." But not only did it go off, it went off without a hitch. It was a tremendous display.
I mean, it made it even more poignant, the fact that it absolutely went ahead, because there were question marks. You know, are they actually going to turn up? Are people going to go? But every artist was there, and every member of the audience was there. So it was a packed house, and it was a fantastic night.
I got to tell you, I've completely come around on the donut liquor, Ariana Grande. Remember, she was the donut liquor here.
Donut liquor.
Yeah, she a couple of years ago, she and her friends were in a bakery in Hollywood, and she licked a couple of donuts on a tray to be funny, and then said something about how she hates America and apologized all over her. So I was done with her. But I think she's been brilliant in the way she has handled this, and to come back so quickly. She's a kid, and to come back so quickly and deal with the parents and the sadness and all that. Good for her.
Absolutely. I mean, she's 23 years old, and she's that's what I wondered about. After the concert, what's going to happen after the attack? Is she going to fly back to America and that was the end of it? And certainly not. And then within a week or so, she's come back. Not only has she come back and done the gig, she could have just gone on stage and, you know, said, "I love you all," and then disappeared again. Yeah. But she met the families. So she is thought of now from people that didn't know who she was. Or for other people that maybe even just thought she was just a donut licker. Now, see her in very, very high regard. So, I mean, good for her. I mean, you can't be anything less than impressed by what she's done.
Absolutely. Hey, Paul, quick question for you about President Trump's tweets responding to the terror attack in London. It appears in some of the tweets he was criticizing Mayor Khan for Mayor Khan simply just reassuring the city residents that everything is going to be okay and calling for peace.
Well, I think what happened, and you know, I'm absolutely certain, not absolutely certain, but what I'd seen is that there was a tweet from Mayor Sadiq Khan that was the words that he used that President Trump used was in relation to something else. It was saying about, I think it was about the police, and he just used a line at the end and said that, you know, there's nothing for us to worry about. So I think he just took a little piece, I'm sure this sounds about right, that he just took a piece off the end of what Sadiq Khan had written and then used it in a completely different context.
What does it sound like in your accent if you call someone a jackass?
Well, you'd say jackass, but really it'd be a jackass. So then that just certainly wouldn't work at all. So that's why we don't use it.
Yeah, it's just curious. So nothing to do with this conversation.
No, that's true.
And complete aside, I just want to congratulate my friend Paul. I obviously want to congratulate the people of the UK, the people of London, the people of Great Britain for keeping calm and carrying on, even though I'm sure you're probably quite tired of that phrase. but over the past 2 months, 3 months, really much longer than that, I suppose, Paul's beloved Tottenham Hotspur Football Club was closing down their building. Now, Dave, this is the equivalent of Wrigley Field shutting down.
Right.
It's actually been the building, White Hart Lane, goes back much farther than Wrigley Field. What was it, 1870s, 1880s?
Yeah, 118 years it's been there.
Right. So Paul emceed the closing ceremonies for the building after the final game there. But he warned the people on the staff at the football club. He said, "Listen, people are going to come over the wall. People are going to rush the field." And they said, no, Paul. Not your concern, Mr. Microphone. Not your issue." And what happened?
Yeah, they did. There was about 10,000 people ran onto the pitch, or the field, as you would call it. You know, all good-natured, all incredibly good-natured, through excitement, thinking this place is closing, this is the end of it, ran on the pitch. But we had this huge ceremony, which was about to go live to 86 countries around the world. And so I had to just try and clear them. So there was a few announcements that were like, "Please get off the pitch." Nobody was taking any notice. So I had to walk out and give this impassioned plea to tell everybody, "Look, this is the world is going to see us, and we need everybody to please clear off and go back to your seats. How they went back to find their seats, I don't know. So eventually about 10,000 people actually moved away.
Paul Coit is Moses.
And then we could carry on with it.
Paul Coit is Moses. He moved the people off the field and got them back to their seats, including two drunken hooligans who had invaded the players' box and sat in the coaches' chairs. What did they say to you?
Well, they said they'd already had a go and shouted at some security guard. And then I said, guys, you've got to go back. Come on, go. And they're like, oh, yeah, sorry, Paul. Any chance we can have a selfie before we go and sit down? So, you know, guys, enough. Go back into your seat. Sit yourself down. See, if it was in real life, if I was walking down the street, I'd be petrified. But the other me, you don't mess with me.
But
I gotta tell you.
You're so polite about it, too. He doesn't go down and scream and yell in
their
face.
No, that's why it worked. That's absolutely why it worked. Because he said, listen, I'm one of you. I grew up here. He was 8 years old. When he went 8, 9 years old when he went to his first game with his dad.
Yeah.
They know you're one of them. They know that you mean well. You didn't tell them, get off the field, you losers. You didn't trump them. You said, we want the best show possible here, so could you help me out? And yet they did. But I'm telling
they
you,
did. Bless
you,
them.
You are,
they did.
You are,
they all went back.
You are Moses of the Premier League.
Well, you know, I try my best. What can I tell you? I do what I can.
Very impressive. Mm-hmm. Very impressive. By the way, that ceremony is still available online, and it's pretty impressive, so I'm proud of you, my friend.
Thank you very much. Bless you.
And thanks for the information, and God bless everybody there, and we will try to keep our president in check to help you not make things worse.
Listen, we appreciate your concern, and thank you very much for the call, as always.
All right, take care. That's my friend Paul Coit in the Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers. Heating and cooling, the 60-Minute Men. The big story is next.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Just a few hours, we're all going to assemble at the beautiful Medina Golf Club, where Dr. Kevin Most hosts his annual golf outing for the foundation that supports Northwestern Hospital and CDH and Delnor's Foundation specifically. Is that where the money goes today? Is the CDH and Delnor foundations? Is that?
Yeah, you know, it's the Northwestern Foundation, so it's going to go to actually advancing cardiac care here in the western suburbs under the Bloom Cardiovascular Institute. So the advances that have been made in cardiovascular disease at Northwestern are phenomenal in allowing some of that knowledge base and some of that talent to be brought into the suburbs. Is going to allow patients to receive great cardiovascular care here at CDH. So,
and in a city filled with great summertime fundraising golf outings, there's none better than yours. And you've put this together and done it for years, but I'm always amazed at what you're able to get accomplished in a day, and we're happy to be invited.
Yeah, we really appreciate all you guys coming out. It's a lot of fun. It builds relationships as well as makes some money, and we hope everyone has a good time. We try to make it as special as we can because, like you said, we all get invited to 10, 15 of these a summer, so you have to pick and choose which ones you want to go to.
And by the way, if you're going to have a grabber, have it today at Medina.
Oh, my God, right?
There's going to be doctors on every fairway.
It is a really fun golf outing, Doc. One of the best.
Thanks. Yeah, we're looking forward. It looks like we got great weather, so we appreciate that, too.
Who's in town? Is Kurt Byram in town?
Kurt and Tom are in town. They got in last night.
The Byram boys.
Yeah.
Had dinner with them, which is always fun and interesting, and Dr. Giblin joined us for dinner. And then Chris Smith, he is probably sitting in the Medina parking lot right now listening to you. So he drove up from Peru. Yep.
All right, good. Well, I look forward to seeing you guys in a little bit. Since we're all going to be out in the sun all day, let's talk skin cancer. This is the time of year. Dave, you've dealt with this. You've been very upfront about this.
Several times. Dave.
And what do we need to know? What's changed? And how do we protect ourselves?
Yeah, and it is good that we're talking about it because, you know, this is essentially the start of summer. But people have to realize that skin cancer is the number one cancer. Today alone, 10, 12,000, 13,000 people would be diagnosed with skin cancer in this country. You could take all of the cancers that we've talked about over this year, add all up the number of people, and it won't come close to the number of people who have skin cancer. So it's really an important topic that we talk about because, for the most part, it's pretty preventable. If we do the right things and we behave appropriately, we can prevent a lot of skin cancers.
How about that? 10 to 12,000, and that's every day?
Every single day. 5.4 million cases in a year. It's pretty common, actually.
Your skin is the largest organ in your body. We don't think of it that way necessarily, but we need to start to understand the basics, and that is when you and I grew up in the 70s, when dinosaurs roamed the earth, everybody thought, oh, get outside, get yourself a tan, put some oil on you. tanning is not healthy.
No, tanning is not. Tanning is a sign that you've done damage to your skin. So if you think about it, like you said, when we grew up, I mean, I grew up on a golf course caddying. I didn't put sunblock on. But today, boy, I'm putting it on every morning, and I'm putting it on before I play golf. And I'm making sure that my caddies have it on. And it is so important. And at least the awareness has happened and has occurred. And a lot of that is because the American Academy of Dermatology has pushed this so much and put it in front of us to say, you guys, you're doing damage to your skin and we can help you. So some great work done by those people. But we really do need to wise up about how we treat our skin because it is very important. Protects us. Like you said, it's our largest organ. Protects us. And some of the skin cancers, unfortunately, that we get, not only do they affect the skin, they can go to many other places in the body and are quite deadly.
Doc, is it a myth to say, okay, I've already been a little burned on the shoulders this season, or I already have the base tan, I don't need to put on sunblock?
No, totally the opposite of that.
You're going to make his head explode. Mm-hmm.
No, because I actually heard someone say this, too, and I said,
no.
I don't think that's right.
No,
have had that burn, you've done damage to your skin already. And you want to continue to protect yourself every single day. Forget about your quote-unquote base tans. And we'll talk a little bit about base tans later. But, no, you want to put that on every day. And, a good dermatologist will tell you to put it on every single day of the year, including the winter, at least for any sun-exposed
skin. Yeah, because you get reflection through your windshield when you're driving and, whatever the case may be.
It's already in my moisturizer. You know, when I put my face cream on in the morning, there's already a little SPF in there, which is great. Does it matter if you do the spray or the liquid?
No, it really doesn't. There's spray, there's liquid. Now there's actually even gel for men with thinning hair to put in their hair as well.
Hey.
I think a big thing, too, that Dave brought up last year that we really need to highlight, Dave asked the question, is it good if I had the bottle from last year? And if you remember, we talked about it. FDA says 3 years is how long it'll last. But if you don't know and it hasn't been kept in a good area, throw it away. Buy another bottle. It's $6. It's going to protect you. But you do get a 3-year shelf life on skin block.
And if you left it in your golf bag all winter, get a new bottle.
By the way, the new issue of Consumer Reports magazine rates all of the sunscreens available.
Oh, really?
Gives them all a grade. And, of course, the one had found on sale at Costco a couple of weeks ago was not rated as high as I had hoped.
That's odd.
What would say number one be?
It's one that actually my wife bought me, and it's very expensive, but obviously I'm going to use
it. I had a dermatologist, because I had a scare, I had a dermatologist recommend something called Calore, and it's a powder.
Yep.
And I look like Mrs. Doubtfire putting it on before golf, putting makeup on. But it's great. It's a powder, and you put it on, and you reapply when needed, and it works. All right, Doc, we'll come back. We'll do more of this in just a second.
You got it.
All of this, of course, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Dr. Kevin Moe's talking about skin cancer. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. All right, Doc, what about lotions and sunblocks and things? We see all sorts of numbers, SPF 10,000. What's legitimate?
Yes. So as long as you have a good understanding of what SPF means, you should be able to choose whatever product you need. So SPF, the sun protection factor, is a number, right? So it's 30, 60, 90, whatever that number is. And what it is it says, if you have a certain type of skin and you were to go outside today without any protection on, how long would it take you to burn? And if it says, let's say it's going to take you 10 minutes to burn, and you put on an SPF 30, you take that 10 minutes times 30, you have 300 minutes of protection.
I never knew that.
If people want to keep it really simple, I would say if you're really religious about putting the sunblock on every 2 hours, then what you can say is go with 30. Don't go below 30. You don't really have to get up to 70 or 90. 30 actually blocks about 97% of the rays. So if you are good, find a good one that you like at 30, but remember to put it on every 2 hours. Because even if the sun is blaring and it would take you 5 minutes to get burned, you still have 5 times 30, so 150 minutes. So as long as you're religious about the 2 hours, you'll be covered.
Okay, so let's go back to the base tans that you said we're going to talk about, too. Some people get the spray tan, mainly the ladies, or just go to the tanning bed just to get that base tan. Good, bad?
Okay, so first we'll talk about tanning beds. They're terrible. They should be outlawed, is my opinion, and I hate to get passionate about something, but it's probably the leading cause of melanoma in young women is tanning beds. So at least in the state of Illinois, you can't go on a tanning bed unless you're 18. They figure if you're over 18 and you're dumb enough to do it, then go ahead.
You can tell Doc's a little fired up about this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have countries like Australia that have said, you know what, tanning beds are outlawed. And we have a lot of, you know, states that have the same laws that we do. Some don't. Iowa, unfortunately, has no restrictions. And you can go, you know, to a tanning bed at the age of 13, and that's unfortunate. But as far as the spray-on tanning, don't get that false sense of security. Although you might look what you think, quote-unquote, is healthy because of the tan, it really gives you minimal, if any, protection against it. So even with the spray-on tan, you still need sunblock to protect yourself.
You mentioned melanoma. That's the killer, right?
That's the killer. That's the one that you really want to be careful about. That's the one that you want to identify as early as possible.
And
I'm going to ask you what they are. What are the signs? I've told you how many times.
Right, but I wouldn't want to show off. So what are the signs, Doc?
And this is simple. We hate things that change, and we hate things that look irregular. All you have to remember is A, B, C, D, E. That's it. A stands for asymmetry. If you look at your skin right now, most moles are going to be symmetrical, whether they're oval or round. But if you cut them in half, both sides would look alike. In melanomas, that's not true. B stands for borders, the edge around. In most of them, it's going to be a very smooth border, very consistent. In melanomas, it's not. It's going to be increppings, outcroppings. It's going to be very irregular. C is for color. Most moles are going to be one color. Some might be lighter, some might be darker, but they're going to be one color. In melanomas, it's not. You can have reds, you can have blues, you can have different shades of brown. We don't like that. D is for diameter. How big is it? Anything bigger than a pencil eraser, we are concerned. And then E is for evolving. You look at something and you notice, boy, that's not how it looked in the past. Often people are going to tell you that that's changed, or you're going to see it in a photo. But E is for evolving, and that's change, which we don't like.
And we're going to place all of these notes up so you can see them as well, Dave.
One question about complexions, Doc, which I guess the theory, or at least the belief, has been that if you're fairer skin like I am, you're more at risk for it than people who are darker complected. Is that true? Are they safe, whereas I'm at a much higher risk?
It's very true. You know, the fairer complexion, the higher chance you have of ending up with melanoma. However, African Americans, people of color, do not feel that this is I am not going to get melanoma. There still is a great chance that you can. And in African Americans, it's often noted on the palms, so on the palms and the soles of their feet. So that's an area that we want to do a good skin exam, but you still can get it. But genetically, what you're going to see is individuals who their genes have brought them into areas where there's been high number of sun. The body has built up color that is going to try to at least block some of it. But anyone can get a melanoma. And like you said, Steve, you'll post that stuff, but the American Academy of Dermatology, AAD.org, is I would go there because they are going to give you true, accurate information. Don't go on a website for a sunblock. Go to AAD.org.
All right, before I let you go, little kids. Little kids, you know, you try to limit their sun exposure when they're babies, obviously, but what's your advice for parents of little kids?
So super important there. First of all, children under the age of 6 months should not be out in direct sunlight ever, period. No questions asked. If you're going to have them outside, they should always be covered, whether it's in a stroller, whether it's with a hat, but they should have not. Their skin is too immature, and it can be so damaging to them that they should not. So anyone under the age of 6 months, nothing. Anything over that and still toddlers, you can start to use sunblock, but I would put as much protective clothing on them as they can. Floppy hats. One, they look quote-unquote cute, but two, it protects their ears, and it also protects the back of their neck and their face. And then also put them on light clothing. If they're going to go in a swimming pool, have them with a light T-shirt on as well because it's going to give them some protection. And they can't tell you, they can't remind you that you put it on 2 hours. So set your clock. Put it on your iPhone and remind yourself. And golfers, the 10th tee is the time to put it on again.
There you go. 2 hours and do it. Yep. Easy way to remember. And by the way, Doc, don't sell yourself short. You're cute in a floppy hat, too. Great information, and really, really important. And Dave, so people don't worry about you. Doctors say you're doing fine because you're really diligent about taking care of it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I learned the hard way, and this is a great. I mean, I'm glad I've gone through it because now I know, and I'm much more careful than I used to be. But right. I was a baby boomer, and we ran around in the sun all day and never thought about it.
Yeah, Doc, I think I'm right about this, right? That's why we're seeing a lot of people late 50s, 60s, even 70s, it pops up because this damage we did back in the 70s is showing up now.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that Dave said, you know, Dave goes to a lot of sporting events and went to a lot of sporting events. Think about you parents who are going to go to soccer tournaments this year where you're going to be out in the sun for the entire day and you don't bring an umbrella. And often that sunblock is in the car because you forgot it. Throw a small thing of it in your purse, in your pocket. You need to reapply there, and you're out watching soccer all day. Put it on because you're just getting beat up when you're out there. And again, tanning is not healthy. It's a sign of damage to the skin.
Doc, don't mess with Doc. Don't mess with Doc. I'm telling you right now. All right, we'll see you out in Medina for the big event today. Thanks for the invite, and thanks for the information.
You got it. Take care. See you in a little bit.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
He's pounded down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
I admit it. You thought about it. You thought about it. Man, it'd be great to have an 18-wheeler. I'd have a big rig. Long haul.
Roll on.
Rolling into the truck stops, meeting your family, because that's the extended family of the road. What's that huge truck stop just over the border in Iowa?
It's Iowa 80.
World's largest truck stop.
We were there for the caucuses.
They got like a dentist. They got a bowling alley.
They have clothing.
An 18-hole golf course.
Yeah.
Water slides.
Crazy. Anyway, a new book out called The Long Haul, A Trucker's Tales of Life on the Road. And Finn Murphy joins us now. Is your name really Finn?
Yeah, good morning, Steve. It is really Finn. It was my grandmother's maiden name.
And the reason I ask, is there a better name for a trucker than Finn Murphy? Come on.
That sounds like an Irish peasant's name, doesn't it?
So it's family vacations, it's driving down the road, it's pumping your arm to see if the guy will honk his truck horn. But it's almost a secret life because we don't know what it's like for these guys like you.
Well, it's true, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. I mean, who hasn't looked up in the cab when they're passing a truck or something and wonder what that life might be like? And that's why I think the book will resonate. But, you know, we're not allowed to pump out, we're not allowed to hit the air horn anymore.
What?
When the kids are in the minivan.
Remember that?
Yeah, and they all go with their hands, and then we're supposed to honk the big horn. We can't do that anymore.
Now, who says you can't?
The safety department, because there was some accident somewhere. Some mother got spooked driving the car.
Well, lost control of her car.
Lost control of the car.
Well, you know what? There's always somebody to ruin our fun. Of course, back in the 70s, when dinosaurs roamed the earth, you had the station wagon with a backward seat in the back, and all you did was pump your fist at the trucker.
Yeah, that was my dad had one of those.
Oh. I had one of those. I was in the backpack, but, you know, I missed the golf course at the Iowa 80 truck stop.
All right, let me back this up for a second. What kind of money can you make as a trucker?
Well, it varies. You see, there's so many different kinds of truckers. You've got, you know, freight haulers, you've got animal transporters, hazardous material people. Movers. I've always been a mover. I move families. We're at the top of the money tree because we get paid to load and unload. But I think the average is somewhere about $35,000 to $42,000 a year. I make quite a bit more than that, but that's because I work in a different way.
And how long are you on the road at any given stretch?
Oh, I could be gone for months and months at a time. I don't leave, you know, the chicken breast in the refrigerator.
Right. So this has, I would think, a tremendous toll on families. I mean, is the divorce rate higher?
Every trucker I've ever met was divorced, and I'm afraid I have to include myself in that non-exclusive club.
Everything you want to know about truckers, get your questions out now, Andrea.
All right, Finn, when you guys pull over on the side of the road, how come you guys always line up on the turn? So if you're by the O'Hare Oasis and you're leaving the gas station, all the trucks are lined up on the exit ramp.
Why do you park there? You're leaving the Oasis?
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is a problem that's only going to get worse, Andrea. So now we have what's called ELDs, electronic logging devices, on our trucks. So when we're allowed to drive 11 hours a day, and when once that 11 hour hits, we have to pull over. So wherever we are, if you didn't plan your day right, or if you got hooked into some traffic, there's a little bit of traffic in Chicago every now and then.
Once or twice, yeah.
And so we have to pull over when that machine says we have to pull over, or then we're in violation.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
How comfortable is it to sleep in the cab?
Oh, nowadays it's great. You know, back in the 70s when I started, when the dinosaurs were still around, you know, we had this little sleeper in the back, and, you know, you just have to sort of crawl in, and, you know, your nose is right up by the roof there. And now I've got a Freightliner Columbia, a 2018. I've got a walk-in double sleeper.
I've got a desk,
a refrigerator, a microwave oven.
It's a roll-in apartment, baby.
It is. I can stand up and change my clothes. It's actually pretty comfortable.
And you got a bathroom in there, too?
No.
That's the trucker buddy.
That's the empty Gatorade bottle.
There you go.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
I want to know about exercise. Do you guys get any now, as far as on the site, you know, at some of the truck stops? Are they offering some exercise rooms?
Yeah, well, there's the golf course at the Iowa
80. Yeah, right.
right.
Uh-huh. Besides golf.
It's a beautiful one.
I've never seen an exercise machine in the truck stop.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Trucker yoga.
Yeah,
trucker yoga every morning.
But honestly, a guy like you, a mover, you're getting plenty of exercise. I mean, you're sitting while you're driving, but once you get there, you're doing all the work.
I'm not hitting the elliptical after my day's work, but the elliptical at the truck stop is a good idea, because then you can hang your towel on it after you take your shower.
There you go. That's what I use mine for.
Not what I'm thinking about.
All right, so I'm in the left lane.
Yeah.
On the Kennedy Expressway.
Right.
Going 55 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe 60, possibly.
You'd
be going 40. And I look and I see a truck in my rearview mirror right on my tail.
Right.
Now, I always understood the truck's supposed to be in the center or the right lane, not in the left lane on the expressways. What should be my move at that point?
Get the hell out of his way.
Yeah, move.
This still happens, I know. I'm 59 years old. I'm an imperturbable calm driver, but I've seen this happen from time to time. Well, more than time to time. So whoever that guy is, that sociopath, he's got an 80,000-pound weapon against your 3,000-pound prey.
Prey.
I'm not sure the proper time to be teaching manners is right then.
Okay. All
right. Finn, do you guys...
Just because you're right doesn't mean you're right.
Do you still talk on the CBs where you go, yeah, I got a guy in front of me doing 40? My prey?
Well, I still talk on the CB. In fact, my CB handle is U-turn, because places like Chicago, I'm always turning around, getting away from those low bridges. But there's not as much CB stuff as there used to be, that's for sure. Because cell phones and hands-free has changed everything.
Sure. And there's technology. There's cool technology that truckers have that we'll eventually get in our cars. But I think you guys get a lot of stuff first, don't you?
Well, we certainly have the GPS systems and the navigations we got first, but I'm not sure. You know, that's a mixed bag in terms of efficiency and so forth. My safety department says that truckers get lost three times more now when we have navigation systems.
I swear to you, right? Technology makes us all stupid. Oh, I can't get out of my own driveway without GPS.
Nobody knows how to read a map.
True.
All right. So a couple of listeners, 773. Do truckers travel with pets?
All the time now. I can't. In fact, the proliferation of pets is unbelievable. So now we've got those little, what do you call it, those pet things where the dogs can eliminate their effluent all over truck stops now.
Right.
You've got husband and wife teams. You don't usually see, you know, a big Saint Bernard or something, but you see a lot of those little yappy kind of dogs, and usually in pairs, and cats.
The little starter kit dogs. All right, it's all in the book. It's The Long Haul, A Trucker's Tales of Life on the Road, from Finn Murphy. But Finn, before I let you fly and get on the road and make another family happy, the trucker etiquette, you're passing or you're being passed, you flip the lights to let the truck know he's got room to get in. Is that the deal?
You flip the headlights when you to let him know he can get in, and then if somebody flips you, it flips the headlights for you, then you flip your taillights to let them say thank you,
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice rules of the road.
That's good to know.
All right, Andrea, last question.
All right, is Chicago the worst city for traffic?
It's close.
Okay.
Atlanta, Dallas, Washington, D.C., the thing about Chicago, you got all those low underpasses, and we call that, if a truck hits a low underpass, we call that getting a haircut.
And everybody hears about the guy that got the haircut.
Makes the news.
Yep. Finn Murphy. It's cool. I'm glad you wrote the book, dude. The Long Haul, A Trucker's Tales, A Life on the Road. Get out and get it. Get two copies. You're careless. You'll leave one in your other truck.
That's how it works. Thank you, Steve.
All right, bud. All the best.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Sandberg's here, producer of the program.
You know, I have a new husband.
Loyal means business. Comcast Sportsnet.
There's some systems at the house.
Wait, what do you mean by systems?
Here we go.
So we have a list. So on the list, yesterday, there was Diet Coke. He drinks Diet Coke. So I bought some Diet Coke. So I brought it home from the grocery store. And there's an empty Diet Coke box sitting on the counter next to the refrigerator.
You cannot be serious.
Wrote it on the list, but left the empty container sitting on the counter.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
He works at night, so I waited for the phone call.
Did he know something was wrong at that point?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Hey.
I said, I bought Diet Coke, but I noticed the empty container was sitting on the counter. Were you keeping it for something?
Hello? Hello? Don't hang up on me. I want to talk to you.
Do you ever catch yourself in the middle of these moments, these Sandberg moments, where you go, maybe Steve's right. Maybe I am nuts. I worry about Pat Boyle this time of year, Pat Boyle at Comcast Sportsnet, because he's not on hockey coverage constantly, so I can't see him blinking out, help me.
Does he have other symbols, maybe?
I saw him the other day, codes. And he's fine.
He's fine?
He's fine.
Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, husband of Mary Sandberg Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet. And, you know, the one thing we count on you to be so buttoned up for the show and in your personal life is not to screw things up here. And then I find out over the weekend you ruined your neighborhood.
I did.
What did you do?
Well, this weekend was a very busy weekend. We had the kids and we had our neighborhood block party. We've lived here for 2 years, but three block parties worth, and we haven't gone to one.
So you're planning on the block party.
Planning on the block party. And we had Patrick's last baseball game on Saturday morning at 9. Catherine had a band concert thing. I send you some videos of that.
Rockstar.
3 o'clock, 4 o'clock on Saturday at Dirty Nelly's, her band.
So in other words, what you had was a Chicago suburban weekend.
Yes. And then my parents were coming over with my sister and her dog for their birthday dinner, which happened in May. And so we were going to come home from the concert.
Her birthday, not the dog.
I mean, that birthday dinner is still going on? She had like 20
birthdays.
No,
not for Katie. For my parents.
Oh,
for your
parents.
May birthdays. So we were going to go to the block party, do an hour there, come back, eat dinner at our house. On Saturday, right before we left for Catherine's concert, Catherine and I, our contribution to the block party were 72 fruit roll-ups.
Oh, my God.
So we walked the box of fruit roll-ups down the street to the block party and can't find the block party.
Seemed rather quiet.
You were on the wrong block?
There's supposed to be a bouncy house. There's supposed to be fire truck. I'm like, geez. Like,
yeah, you know, because it's
going
a big deal.
On. Right. So I'm like, we better go home. You know, I don't know. Like, so we go home and
we can't just be wandering the neighborhood with fruit roll-ups.
It's funny that fruit roll-ups are still a thing.
Oh, my God. These kids, it's the best. It's the greatest. The kids love them. They're horrible for your teeth, of course. So we get home and Catherine's reading the invitation. And I'm like, we were at the right house. And I'm really confused. And she goes, Sunday, June 4th. So I had the wrong date. Now, I don't know who throws a block party on a Sunday. That seems really
apparently your neighborhood.
So I've known about this for months, but I assumed it was Saturday. I never even checked the date. So I call my parents, who are on their way to Catherine's band thing, because they always leave early. And they're like, you're kidding. There's no block party. I'm like, no, I have to let our two new neighbors that I had told that the block party was on Saturday. And they're like, oh, yeah, we'll see you there. I'm like, hey, just so you know, I gave you the wrong date. The black party's tomorrow.
And they changed all sorts of plans.
Oh,
one of them
God.
Had elective surgery.
At least you didn't miss it, though. At least it wasn't.
Well,
on
actually,
the 4th
I kind of wish I would have missed it.
Yeah.
Because then we went.
Sorry.
It'll be our one and only black party appearance. It was from the house, the black party, like the little quadrant that was blocked off. You could see the house with the planters that are not like spaced correctly.
Oh.
But those people were not there. The neighbors were there, and I was about to ask the neighbor, hey, do you ever talk to them? Like, can we talk about the planters? But
couldn't leave well enough alone, huh?
Pat shot me a look like, don't you
screwed the day up, and you had to keep going.
I know. We were there for 2 hours. That's too long to be at a block party.
I actually think the block party would have been a perfect opportunity to say something, because it's been bothering you for so long. This is a social setting.
I know.
There's probably alcohol involved.
There was alcohol.
Steve, if she's got to get it out, she's got to get it out.
I know Sandberg's your friend. And I know you're very nervous about questioning her
on
anything because I know you're afraid of her.
No, I'm
but
not.
She needs to
I'm
take
like
credit
her.
For ruining her new neighbor's weekend.
I did. I ruined theirs. My sister was so mad because she planned on bringing Biscuit, her dog. She's like, Biscuit would have loved the block party. And Pat was like, I don't think the dog's really disappointed about the block party. But Katie was very upset. So
I think sometimes your parents must sit around listening to the show and they go, you know, we love our girls, but man.
I know.
What's going on
we
there?
We sound like a
I
lot.
Bet people would love to be your therapist, though. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of material there.
Yeah.
A lot of material.
So the kids. So then this threw off everything. Patrick's like, how'd you get the date wrong? He can't even understand because he had been conserving his energy.
That's what, you know, that was my greatest concern. My greatest concern is you've shattered the confidence of the children in your own home.
Patrick, can't anybody else read the invitation, Mayor? I mean, you're not the only one in the house.
It all falls on me, Mayor.
The commandant has it covered, obviously.
I know, but Patrick's like, he was conserving his energy after his baseball game for the block party because he's like, I know I'm going to get sweaty. Like, that was what
he's
he was.
10. He's conserving his energy.
And so then I had to call their mom and say, hey, do you mind if we keep them longer on Sunday? Because usually they go back earlier. I said, because I messed up. The block party is usually on Sunday. And she was almost like, Mary, you never get the date wrong. Like, I know. Like, no, everyone was thrown off.
So we should probably submit you for full medical testing.
I know. I don't. This
big
is,
time. Although there's no state budget, so you might be okay. We can't afford it now.
We can't afford it. Yeah. Wow. It was all, no one knew it. Pat's like, wow, you got something wrong. And he's all like happy about it.
Did you go? You ended up going though on
Sunday. We went on Sunday. I made him go. The kids went. We were there for 2 hours. It's a long time to stand there and talk to people. And it's one of those neighbors where people like, our house was built in 1958, but it's only had like one owner. And so they're like, oh, you're in the Massini house. And the mob used to go there, you know, like, because some of all the original owners are. We have two groups of people. People with, like, little babies, and then the people that are all original owners from 1958 or 62 and all that business.
See, I would have loved that. I would have loved to stand around and talk about mob people in my house.
Oh, yeah, just, I'm sure.
Yeah, really?
No, not at all. not at all. Well, listen, are you feeling better today?
I am.
Because we still have 2.5 hours of show to go, and I'd like to know it's planned properly.
I know, but now I'm questioning everything.
Ryan Nobles, maybe.
Maybe.
In a few minutes. And,
I just hope the block wasn't listening.
That's why I'm... I'm not going to say names.
Yeah, you come back in the neighborhood and they'll go, oh, I guess Mary didn't have a good time.
You know, like the neighborhood watch, they'll have Sandberg's picture.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're watching out for
like
this
like a circle
one.
With a slash through it.
Watch out for your planners.
Yeah. 7:34, big story next, 7:20 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
A judge has just blocked our executive order on travel and refugees coming into our country from certain countries. This ruling makes us look weak, which, by the way, we no longer are, believe me. Just look at our borders. The order he blocked was a watered-down version of the first order and should have never been blocked to start with. This is, in the opinion of many, an unprecedented judicial overreach.
Look at you putting all the big words together. Ryan Nobles joins us now. And Ryan, if you're Sean Spicer, a guy who at this point, in my opinion, deserves limited sympathy, and you get up on a Monday morning, the last thing you want to see is the boss went off on 4 straight tweets again and just refuted everything you went and tried to fix when he screwed it up the first time.
Yeah, you know, and at this point, if you've watched Spicer's press briefing, he's basically become inert anyway. Not that he had much say in the administration before, but he's basically just giving one sentence answers to everything without any kind of explanation or any kind of depth to those answers. So, yeah, I mean, I think probably to a certain extent, Spicer feels a little bit liberated because the White House has really reduced his power in the overall infrastructure of their communications effort. And I think at this point, it's really just the president speaking through his tweets. And let me tell you just a funny aside. Our Joe Johns, CNN correspondent, was at the White House this morning. And Kellyanne Conway, one of the senior counselors, was heading to do an interview with the Today Show. And he asked Kellyanne about the president's tweets. And her response to Joe Johns was, "Why are you guys so obsessed with tweets?" Well, but we journalists are the ones obsessed with tweets, if you know what I mean.
That's the that's the pot calling the Twitter the tweeter. And here's the tweet that set it all off this morning. There's a bunch of them. But people, this is from the president. "The lawyers in the courts can call it whatever they want, but I'm calling it what we need and what it is in capital letters, a travel ban." I mean, the Supreme Court has to go, listen, Mr. President, we'd like to give you a fair hearing on this thing, but you're not helping.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't think that this won't be evidence in a Supreme Court hearing, right? I mean, all the steps up until this point, the president's lawyers from the judiciary have been attempting to spin it the other way, that it's not a travel ban. It's a very targeted effort to protect American citizens. And he's just coming right out and saying what everyone has accused him of saying. The only thing he didn't include was calling it a Muslim travel ban, which he's pretty close to saying in a lot of his rhetoric surrounding. So, yeah, I think this is, I mean, he's going to take this all the way to the Supreme Court now. He even said this morning that he wishes that he had the more tough order in front of the Supreme Court. But if this one gets struck down by the Supreme Court, then he's really left without very many options.
We'll come back more with Ryan Nobles, including his big weekend in Iowa with Joni Ernst and Mike Pence on motorcycles. Huh? You think Ryan doesn't have a cool gig?
Ooh, look at that.
hanging out in Iowa on the big bikes. More with Ryan in a second. Before we do that, back to Mary for the traffic. Ryan Nobles, CNN, is with us. So Saturday, I'm minding my own business. I'm not hurting anybody. And there I see Mike Pence fly over. The vice president flying over. They were low enough you could see because, you know, he's got a couple of fighter jets trailing the plane. And you go, well, that's the vice president's plane. And he was going to see Joni Ernst, I guess, huh?
Yeah, and he did have a quick stopover in Chicago, so that makes sense that you would have seen him. Yeah, so, yeah, he was. He was there for Joni Ernst's annual roast and ride, a big political to do in Iowa.
And did the vice president get on a bike?
He actually did. So the way it worked was Joni led a group of more than 100 bikers from Des Moines out to Boone, Iowa, which is about an hour west of the city. And then after they all got there, about 20 minutes later, they made everybody started rustling around. And sure enough, come right around the corner was Joni Ernst and the vice president on a motorcycle rolling right up to the stage. And you rarely see Mike Pence not in a shirt and tie. He had a polo shirt on and a pair of jeans and a motorcycle helmet. It was definitely a unique sight, something I'd never seen before.
Yeah, no kidding. That would look weird.
Yeah, right. And you know what? I really like Joni Ernst. I like what she's done. I like what she stands for. Could she possibly be a name for the future of the party, Ryan, do you think? Maybe for higher office?
You know, this was my first time spending a lot of time around her, and I actually got to interview her one-on-one at least three different times this weekend, so I was around her quite a bit. And she really is impressive. She is somebody who is on message all the time. It is pretty difficult to break her from that message. But I put Joni Ernst in that same category as I do people like Marco Rubio and Ben Sasse and some of these kind of this new crop of Republicans who were kind of elected pre-Donald Trump and tend to be a little bit more conservative, but not all as far to the right as Donald Trump.
Right.
And they're not really sure where they fit in this landscape. Like when you talk to Joni Ernst, she by no means criticizes Donald Trump, but she does go to pretty great pains to separate herself from him. You know, right. You ask her a question about Donald Trump. She says, well, the president's going to do what he's going to do. But listen, in Congress, we're working on X, Y, and Z. So, I mean, it's difficult for any of these guys to completely escape Donald Trump. I mean, she was arm in arm with his vice president this weekend. But it's clear that you can tell with all of these Republicans who view themselves as potentially presidential candidates down the road that they are definitely delicate with Donald Trump.
The Megyn Kelly NBC Sunday night situation started last night with a sit-down with Vladimir Putin. Jay, give me cut one when you get a second. Vladimir Putin sitting down with Megyn Kelly, and she asked some tough questions, and he got a little aggravated. You could tell because the translator got aggravated. But here's a clip.
I will tell you something that you probably already know. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but the United States, everywhere, all over the world, actively interferes with the electoral campaigns of other countries. Put your finger anywhere on the map of the world, and everywhere you will hear complaints that American officials are interfering in internal electoral processes.
But with respect, that sounds like a justification.
It doesn't sound like a justification. It sounds like a statement of fact.
Ryan, what is that? The I know you are, but what am I defense?
I mean, that's what it sounds like. You know, two wrongs make a right. At least that's the argument that he's trying to make. Vladimir Putin is a brilliant politician. There's no doubt about that. And he knows how to push the right buttons to deflect and to put aside any kind of thought process that he may have done something wrong. But I also think when you watch that interview, that it's pretty clear that Vladimir Putin wants you to at least think that the Russians did have a role in messing with the American election, because that makes him look more powerful. And it also makes you think that he's somebody that you don't want to mess with. So, he, much like Donald Trump, is pretty good at the non-denial denial. And sprinkled throughout that interview, you certainly got the sense that he was doing everything he could not to kind of bang his chest and take credit for it, but at the same time come up with excuses why it was okay.
Ryan, big week for the White House. James Comey will be testifying on Thursday, I believe. Is there any plans right now for the Trump administration to try to block the testimony by invoking the executive privilege, or do we expect to see a lot of fireworks with this?
Yeah, you know, Andrea, this is a perfect example of the White House just not giving us a clear sense of what they're going to do here. You know, they're throwing out the possibility that he may attempt to invoke executive privilege, but no one will answer it directly. They just keep continuing to say, well, that's an option out there. I mean, my sense of it is that from a public relations standpoint and a legal standpoint, it would be very difficult for the president to make this move. He might be able to delay it a couple of days, but then that would just be putting off the inevitable, and he'd take a huge public relations hit as a result of it. You know, this weekend when I was in Iowa, I talked to two Republican senators, Joni Ernst and Tim Scott, who's the popular Republican senator from South Carolina. Both of those Republicans told me they did not want the president to take this move. So if he doesn't have Republicans that can kind of back him up and say, yeah, this is the president's right to do it, I think it's going to be very difficult for him to go down that road. So my anticipation is that we will see James Comey on Thursday. The question I have is, the hype has gotten so great. Will it reach the hype, and will he actually be able to say things that we want him or are interested in him saying in an open session? And I think that's still the big question on the board.
It's Ryan Nobles from CNN. We'll let you fly, but pay attention, too, to any further reaction from the United States in regards to the hideousness of what happened Saturday night in London. It became very clear over the weekend that Theresa May and the British government are not looking to us for help, that relationship has changed. And regardless of the one of four Trump tweets or six Trump tweets that said, hey, we're with you, Theresa May and company aren't looking to that. So I think that's a developing story, too, Ryan, and I know you're on it.
Definitely, definitely. Definitely something to look at for sure, Steve.
All the best. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Ryan Nobles, CNN. News next, and then Dean on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah,
Dean Richards, live from Channel 9. And good morning to you.
Nice weekend?
Yeah, busy. You?
Same. Yeah. Same. Busy weekend. Lots of bizarre news, as there is this morning now.
And I know that you had our friend Paul Coit on yesterday on the Sunday
show. I did indeed.
He's handy, isn't he?
He is. Well, he's always available, that's for sure.
And he's a great guy.
And he is articulate and thoughtful and insults you on a moment's notice.
Which you love.
Which I got to say, I don't hate.
Hey, look at right to my right here. Your left to my right, depending on how you're standing. There's a big smile on Andrea Darlis' face. You know why? She saw Wonder Woman.
Oh, I loved it, Dean. You were right on the money, as always.
It was so good, right?
It was I even stayed for the credits, and I never do.
Yeah, everyone's been telling me that they've seen the movie, that they agree with my review, which is nice. But everybody coming out with rave reviews. Even Robin Baumgarten this morning,
ooh,
who, number one, paid to go see a movie. So somebody marked that on the calendar.
Nice.
But here's the downside for her. She went to one of these theaters with the reclining seats.
Oh, she fell asleep?
No, she didn't fall asleep. But the person who was right within her eyesight kicked off their sandals.
Why?
Bare feet.
Gross.
Up on a recliner.
Stop it.
How about some etiquette? How about some normal people life etiquette?
House.
No, that's ridiculous. By the way, Dean, the package that you put together for Wonder Woman,
be careful
I saw
now,
it.
You're talking about Dean's package.
I know, but it was so
don't
beautiful.
Stop her.
No, it was so beautifully written and so beautifully worded. I thought it really was. You know, it takes a lot.
I'm not surprised that he couldn't do it.
I say this because
I'm trying to think of Beautiful and Wonder Woman.
People think, you know, when you do these packages and you take the time to do a review or a story or whatever, I actually had someone one time ask me if I had a teleprompter out when we're out in the neighborhoods and covering. I said, no, that's all. And then when we write the packages, the TV packages, for lack of a better word, that's what we call
them—the pre-recorded
vignettes.
Stories, right?
Exactly, the pre-recorded stories. We write those, and you just wrote it so beautifully.
Well,
maybe because
so nice
I like the movie so much, but
that's so nice of you. I'm going to have to be drunk when I write those stories more often.
Yeah,
I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of either one of you.
yes, you are. You love us.
Wonder Woman.
That's all the time we have for today.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman broke a bunch of records?
It took in $100 million, third movie now to break the $100 million mark on its opening weekend. But this is really significant that it is the biggest opening movie ever for a female director.
Oh,
which
cool.
Is very significant for Patty Jenkins, who was the director of the movie, and 52% of the audience that went to see the movie this past weekend was female.
Yep.
That never happens for a superhero movie.
So what do we make of this? Is it because the movie hit the right slot at the right time? Because Gal Gadot is not exactly a household word yet.
No, but Wonder Woman is. But I think it has more to do with female empowerment.
Yeah.
Girl power. I mean, it's almost trivializes it to say girl power. But, you know, this says, I don't need Superman to save me. I don't need Batman to
Superman
save me.
Superman can kiss my latex-covered butt.
Yeah. and her character, too, she's sympathetic. She's strong.
Thoughtful, caring, everything.
Right.
Everything.
A little naive in the beginning, but... Yeah.
She's a female Steve, basically.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Very much true.
Yeah.
And the movie's funny in spots too, right?
It is. They injected just enough humor in there not to make it ridiculous. The action sequences are done so well. I mean, to me, it was. I took a little bit of heat with some of the reviews of people saying I was glorifying violence.
Oh, come on!
Because somebody's going to find something
it's
to complain about, no matter what
movie.
You say. But, I mean, you know, also, I don't know if they know that there isn't, you know, those superpowers don't really exist. It's not, you know, actual. But, you know, because I was saying that it's like ballet watching this. It's like watching a choreographed ballet. It's not just random, you know, violence and explosions and things that they just throw on the screen and overload. This is done really thoughtfully. And I think that that's part of it. And the performances are good. Her chemistry with Chris Pine is really good.
And Robin Wright had a wonderful role. I didn't even know she was in the movie.
Yep.
She was great.
She took time off from being First Lady?
Yeah.
Wow, good. Good, good.
You haven't seen episode 5 yet,
yes,
have you?
Yes, I have.
Oh.
I'm still saying they couldn't have found 10 seconds for a Linda Carter someplace in there.
On a street corner.
Standing on a corner reading a magazine. you know, Wonder Woman runs by, she hands her, you know, a lasso or something.
It just seems like that would be the easy way to go.
Yeah.
So, but maybe, other than that, that's the only flaw.
Maybe next time.
All right, so here's what else is coming up. Bill Maher apologizes for his Friday night, really, that is a dumb thing. Dumb. That's all. It's dumb. Stacey's Keach is sicker than we thought, maybe. Is that true?
We know that the show has been canceled.
Okay.
His Ernest Hemingway show at the Goodman, for sure.
So we wish him well.
They've stopped saying that it's on a daily basis postponed, and they've said that the run is off now.
Jimmy Buffett musical is coming to town. He has a musical.
This is big news, Steve. This is exclusive news.
Tom Cruise is talking more about the Top Gun sequel. And we'll play a couple of clips from the Manchester concert last night, plus anything else that's come up with Dean. Oh, including you got to ask him about Raquel Welch.
Oh, that's right.
Because she's all over the TV this morning.
When you say Raquel Welch, you got to make the lecherous old man sound.
I thought you were going to say she's all over Dean.
Raquel Welch.
It's 8:19. Andre and I and the pervert will be back after traffic.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972.
8:24 now, and back to Dean, live at Channel 9. So Bill Maher was talking to the senator from
Nebraska,
Ben Sasse.
Yep.
And Ben Sasse says, you got to come to Nebraska, work the fields with us.
And Bill Maher goes, work the fields? I'm a house.
N-word.
N-word. And then the crowd groaned, and he goes, oh, I'm joking. But, you know, there was an avalanche of response criticizing him for using the N-word. Chance the Rapper took a shot at him on Twitter, saying that his show shouldn't be on the air anymore, which is interesting because so much rap music uses the N-word in it. You know, and it seems like a double standard. I'm told that Chance the Rapper have used the slur F word for gay people, and which is just as bad. Hopefully it opens a discussion about all of this. But in the meantime, Bill Maher's apologized, said that he made a mistake. It was a bad judgment. HBO is saying it's deplorable. And, you know, everybody is, you know, playing the Kathy Griffin apology game at this point. They haven't held a press conference like Kathy Griffin has, which I still need someone to explain to me why that happened.
Yeah, the press conference was insane.
It was weird.
I have no idea why she did that. All right, so Bill Maher, as of now, still works for HBO.
Yes, he does.
All right. Stacey Keach, Pamplona, we told the story before, but remind people why it started.
He was performing. It was the official opening night. And in the middle of the performance became what has been described as disoriented and was repeating the same sections of text over and over again. They stopped the performance and said that he wasn't feeling well. He was getting medical attention. And he has not been on stage ever since that happened. It was a week ago. And then over the weekend, the Goodman decided to just cancel the performance so he can completely concentrate on his health.
And that's a big deal, shutting down a play.
That's a very big deal. It's a one-man show. It's not like a huge old cast, but still, it's a big deal. And we're concerned. Stacey Keach was on the show. Couldn't have been nicer. Seemed very, very healthy. I hope he's okay. You know, sending love and prayers out to him. He's a great guy.
Jimmy Buffett musical coming to town. I'm confused by this because isn't Jimmy Buffett musical?
Yes, he is. But you know how, like, the ABBA musical that I love so much? Mamma Mia. I do actually love the stage play. It was just that that movie version that I still get the hives from when I hear about it, where they take I think that was 21 ABBA songs, and they turned it into Mamma Mia. They run a storyline through it and use the songs to tell the story. And they've done that with Elvis music. They've done that with Billy Joel music.
Now they're going to Margaritaville it.
Now they're going to put some salt around the edges and do it for Jimmy Buffett music. And I'm trying to find my notes on this, and I cannot say. Oh, here, I'm looking in the wrong file. Here we go. I've got it. I've got it.
Thank God I was worried.
I've got it. Maybe I don't. No, I don't have it. No, I don't have it.
All right, take your time. We're until 10.
It's going to be opening here in Chicago. I don't know why I can't find it right now.
It's all right. Well, it's not like we're on the air.
Steve, I found it. I did find it. It's called Escape to Margaritaville.
It is.
It's going to be at the Oriental Theater November 9th through December 2nd. And tickets are pre-sales begin today. And general ticket sales will go on sale June the 20th. I'm not reading any of that, by the way. It's right off the top of my head.
That's why you didn't have to look for your notes.
Mm-mm.
Tom Cruise is still talking about Tom Cruise is my age. Now, you know, is he still flying the Top Gun planes?
Yeah, he's a pilot. I doubt he's flying planes like he did in Top Gun, but he is a pilot. I don't know if you've ever jumped off the tallest building in Dubai.
Yeah, I have.
Okay, well, yeah. there you go.
Well, fell off.
I don't even know how I got up here in
right,
the first place.
Right.
But, he's an adventure seeker. He loves it. And he did confirm last week that there was going to be a Top Gun sequel. Over the weekend, he disclosed a little more information, saying that the movie is going to be called Top Gun Maverick.
Not a great title.
Top Gun Maverick. And
I like something more innovative, like Top Gun 2.
Yeah, he said he doesn't like the numbers.
Yeah.
He doesn't like numbers, except the ones that are on his paycheck. They're not saying exactly what the plot's going to be, but... some sources are saying it's going to be old school Maverick, that was his character in the movie, versus high tech ways of doing things now, drones and, you know, things like that.
Why are you running Raquel Welch video all morning?
Because she's part of a new TV show that's a dramedy. that's called Date My Dad with Barry Watson. Do you know who Barry Watson is? He was little Matt Camden on Seventh Heaven back in the day. Remember, was that the WB show, I think, right? Yeah. Started on the WB. So he plays a widowed father of three girls. Of course, he can't handle raising the three girls by himself. He brings his mother-in-law in, Raquel Welch.
Well, she's got a lot going on there facially, but she's 76 years old. She looks pretty good.
She looks fantastic. She looks absolutely fantastic.
She's got that Jane Fonda's almost 80.
Yeah, she looks, now, you know, we did one of these satellite interviews with her, so the camera never got too close to her, but she looks pretty amazing.
I think so.
She sounds very spry and reminded us she was born here in Chicago and didn't spend much time here. Their family moved when she was very little, but we can still call her Chicago's very own. And she's, you know, still vivacious. And
did you ever run in with her at some point?
Raquel Welch?
No.
No.
Hmm. I mean, so many people have had run-ins with you. You know, you, Mr. Drifter, Mr. Ne'er-do-well of the entertainment world.
Yep.
All right.
Ben Stiller once told me that when I walk in the room, it's like 60 Minutes is coming in the room.
that's a compliment,
that's
actually.
A compliment.
Yeah. We played some of the music from Manchester, but some of the artists that were there, who was there?
Justin Bieber got very emotional during the show, was very, very poignant. Katy Perry, Miley Cyrus, Pharrell Williams, Black Eyed Peas, Coldplay was amazing. Ariana Grande, of course, performing almost with almost everybody. It was just an amazing show. Do you want to hear a little music? Do you want to hear the
we played some of the music. Artists, let's hear some of the artists.
Some of the artists speak.
Yeah, here we go.
Before we go any further, I want to thank y'all from the bottom of my heart for being here today. I love you so much. I want to thank you so much for coming together and being so loving and strong and unified. I love you guys so much, and I think that the kind of love and unity that you're displaying is the medicine that the world really needs right now.
Would you agree that love always wins?
Justin Bieber.
Love conquers fear and love conquers hate.
Katy Perry.
Tell them I love you. Look in their eyes. Say, I love you.
All these people who are fearless and pay for love.
Will.i.am from Black Eyed Peas. All the artists spoke about love. They spoke about resiliency, overcoming the tragedy that happened there 2 weeks ago. It was powerful. The show was powerful and incredibly entertaining. I have to think the show, while it was broadcast worldwide and made over £2 million for survivors and victims of the bombing, I have to think this is going to turn into, you know, like a Live Aid kind of
thing,
whether they release it as an album or, you know, something on iTunes, something like that. But it was pretty great. The whole thing was pretty great.
Apparently $12 million they raised.
$12 million, was it?
Yes. And that's still coming in, obviously. But those are the numbers from this morning.
Yeah.
Well, that's tremendous. All right, Dan. Thank you.
See you.
Radstein Richards, we're coming back with a big story. You're going to update us on Orlando and the shooting there? Coming up next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Woo! 8:43 now, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. 70 years ago, a young man named Ross Grimmel bought $1,000 worth of stock in a local pharmacy chain. That local pharmacy chain was Walgreens. He figured, people are going to need probably, you know, pharmacy down the road. This Walgreens thing might turn into something. By the time he hit his late 90s now, it's worth more than $2 million. He turned the stock over to the Audubon Society to create a wildlife preserve. How about that?
That's
isn't that a nice
incredible
story?
Yes.
Using it to help establish a 400-acre wildlife refuge near Dixon and Amboy. So that's a nice story. And speaking of Walgreens, we welcome to the story, or to the studio, I should say, as part of Cancer Survivors Month, Matt Farber, Walgreens Senior Director of Oncology Disease State, and our friend Bonnie Gordon. Let me turn on a bunch of microphones here. How are you guys?
Great, thank you.
Nice to see you. What does your title mean?
I am in charge of the overall oncology strategy for Walgreens, how we work with patients and their caregivers, doctors, nurses, insurers, on making sure that we help cancer patients throughout their journey.
So I would say oncology states apropos, right? Because it's a fluid situation.
Incredibly, yes.
All right. So how has it changed in your time?
Well, you know, Walgreens has obviously always been there to help patients obtain their medications and through the process into survivorship. But something that with this new program that we're happy to announce today is we're really getting more into the screening and prevention side as well, and trying to help patients with their mammograms and hopefully incentivize them to get those mammograms.
This is a big deal.
Yes, it is.
Have you had a mammogram lately?
I did. Yeah, I had mine late last year. I do mine once a year. You should get your baseline at 35. And then I would say every year after, but baseline 35.
You feel like you're being judged right 40. Now?
It really
you
is.
You have to.
You know, it's a decision with you and your health care provider, but you're taking action, and that's the key. And that's what this program is about. We're rewarding people for getting mammograms. Get a mammogram, get rewarded, and help save a life.
Every year.
How about you, Vannevelle? Did you have your mammogram?
Oh, yeah. I always pick the cold months to do it in January every year.
Because what, it's like, it's a numbing agent?
Anybody who's had one would understand.
Okay. All right, fine. Sandberg, have you had yours? Yes, thumbs up. Dave, how about you? Have you had one?
I would.
Okay.
Shouldn't guys have them too?
I think it'd be hard to get.
It is important that everyone consult their health care provider.
There you go. Look at you. Good answer.
Yeah, we want 100,000 women in Chicagoland to get their mammogram between now and the end of October. And the great thing about it is you get 1,000 balance reward points from your facility, your mammography facility.
That is cool.
I love that.
And then Walgreens is going to donate $1 when that voucher is redeemed. Nice. So it really will to help underserved women get their mammograms.
And just not to gloss over the male question, men do get breast cancer.
Yes.
But there's a tissue accommodation that you need for the test, right? That's not as easy with men.
Absolutely. But as anything, if there's something that's not right with your body, male or female, check it out. Yeah, take action.
Yeah.
Right.
I just want to think people were taking that lightly, because for a lot of men, that's a very serious issue. Komen Chicago. ComenChicago.org. It's about as good an organization as you could be associated with to find money for research. And you're partnering with Walgreens on this?
Absolutely. So Walgreens has been a partner for almost 10 years with us, has been an incredible partner. And this is just really talking about early detection. It's about giving people the incentives to take the action to get that mammogram and then to get rewarded. And it's really incredible. It's part of Komen's big, bold goal to reduce breast cancer deaths by 50% by 2026. And we're losing 1,000 men and women every year in Chicagoland. This has to stop.
No doubt.
This early detection program is a very big deal.
Two-time survivor?
Yeah. Two-time survivor, because once wasn't enough. So now...
Explain that to me. Now, what happens? You get through the first one. I'm sure there's a feeling... I shouldn't say I'm sure, because I don't know. But do you think the other shoe could drop at some point, or you're just living your life at that point?
You know, a very wise person said to me, go live your life. And if something happens, then deal with it. But you can't be paralyzed. But there's no certainty. You could get hit by a bus today, or you could, God forbid, cancer comes back.
How much time did you have in between?
I had 16 years.
Wow.
And it was because I had a mammogram the second time that found calcifications.
Wow.
And it's why I'm sitting here. It's why this program is so key.
It saved you, literally. We did this story last week. Olivia Newton-John, after 25 years, her breast cancer has returned. Actually, we were going to go see her in Joliet. She put her tour on hold. But how is it? I mean, obviously, now she has to fight this battle all over again. And she's 25 years older this time, too. So that's got to be a little bit of a hindrance for her.
It's a hindrance, but it's what you do. Yeah. If you deal with it and you get the best treatment you can, you consult your doctor, and you move on. And that's what we do, because there's no guarantees in life. But the key to this whole thing is, if we can find it early, we can save suffering, we can make it happen. The treatments are optimal. And then if not, for advanced cancer, we've got to get everyone the proper treatment.
And I think her story, too, also shows kind of what you had just said as well. You have your mammograms. Keep in touch with your doctor, even though it's been 5, 10, 15, 20 years, which is wonderful. Keep going, because you never know.
Absolutely. You've got to have a wonderful relationship with your primary care physician, your Walgreens pharmacist, is wonderful also to consult, and it really is about knowing your body and taking action.
Matt Farber, Walgreens Senior Director of Oncology Disease Day. What's this going to look like in the stores? Is there a change physically?
No, there's not. So essentially, you're going to go to your mammography provider, and the list of participating providers is available on the comanchicago.org/Walgreens. You will get a voucher. Bring that voucher into any Chicagoland Walgreens and redeem it for the balance reward points and then the donation to Coleman Chicago.
Okay, because, you know, the new Walgreens stores, the bigger ones like the Palace across the street here, it's pretty impressive. The clinic stuff is pretty impressive.
It is, and it really kind of goes to the fact that we can help patients throughout their journey regardless of where they are, and more than just cancer patients, but we're here talking about those patients. So, you know, if they're pre-treatment, during treatment, as they're managing their side effects and into survivorship, we definitely want to help these patients.
And you don't need an appointment, right?
Absolutely not, no. Well, to come into the Walgreens, if you're going to get your mammogram, then contact your mammogram provider or go to the Coleman Chicago website.
But come in and ask questions, anything like that, you can go in and talk with a professional there.
Absolutely. At Walgreens. That's right.
This is where medicine's going. We know there's less people getting into medical school. We know that if you want to be a nurse practitioner, that's a great field to get into. But I would assume there's no end in sight to developing the Walgreens medicine side of this, right?
Well, you know, what I would say, certainly in the cancer space, is we are seeing more and more therapies that are now being delivered orally as pills you take at home. And many times the last person to talk to a patient before they start their treatment will be their pharmacist. So let's make sure that they are a valued part of the cancer care team, because it really is a team effort when it comes to treating cancer.
And you're incentivizing people to do the right thing for themselves now. How many? 1,000 points?
Mm-hmm. 1,000 points, yes.
That's great. It's very nice.
Perfect. Yeah.
If people want to make an appointment, comanchicago.org/Walgreens. What other resources should we tell them?
You call our office. We're available. The key is we will help you whether you have a physician or not. We will help you get your mammogram and get checked and find it early and take action.
I always like to say, what is it, 75% of the money stays right in Chicago?
That's correct. 75% of the net proceeds of every dollar stays right here to help Chicagoland women fight breast cancer, and 25 cents goes to global research, because it's about today helping people, even in the playing field, and also tomorrow. We cannot forget about the proper treatments to really get rid of this disease.
Susan G. Komen, National Community Assessment, rates, ratios, and rankings. Statistics are out there. They're scary, but they don't have to be. The more you do, the better those numbers will look.
Absolutely. Let's find it early, and let's get rid of this. And thanks to Walgreens for really being an authentic partner in helping early detection and finding it early and saving lives.
Yeah, and thank you, Matt. It's got to be an interesting job, I would think.
It's very challenging, but it's very, very fascinating.
And rewarding, right?
It's incredibly rewarding when we can truly help patients throughout their journey, and for them to come and tell us their stories of how we're able to help them. It keeps us going to work every day.
And Cancer Survivors Month continues, and we'll keep telling you stories here. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
9:12 now, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Doc Emmer coming up at 4:10. Bill Owenny at 10. And joining us in the studio is Chris Stone. Chris, one of the busiest guys in Springfield. Look, if we're trying to figure out how everybody's going to survive in the state of Illinois,
right,
and how to make enough money to continue on, you got to look at some innovative things. And Chris is here to tell us. He's got some innovation on his mind. Well, first off, a little background. You're a developer?
I'm a lobbyist.
Okay.
I have a contract lobbying firm in Springfield, and I've been lobbying for 22 years.
But you see openings all the time. You go, this is a business we ought to be doing, right?
Ideas, things
that you should move on.
Yeah, we need to start thinking outside the box, right? Whether it's Springfield or whether it's the state of Illinois, we need to start thinking outside the box, because if we don't and we continue to do what we're doing, we're going to drive the state into the ground. And
we're headed that way. The momentum is bad.
Yeah.
So last week, we don't get a budget again. Is it funkier there than it's been? Do you have a sense of doom and gloom like you didn't have before? Because you're an upbeat guy.
Listen, you have to be upbeat. And yes, I think that there is a sense of doom and gloom that is coming over the city of Springfield more than any other place in the state, because I mean, the number one employer for the city is the state.
Right.
I mean, medical is the second, but you know, medical relies on state employment. So when you see that we don't have a budget, when you see that there's that much uncertainty, it's kind of like the stock market, right? When you see a lot of uncertainty, you're going to see the stock market go down. You're going to see people's attitudes about the, you know, positive attitudes start going down. And I think that we've seen that over the course of the last 3 years.
Well, we talk about this in relation to sports. Losing is contagious. So if everybody starts to buy into the fact that you can't fix the state, we're going to have a problem.
We're going to have a problem.
And
you're
plus,
right.
It's been 2 years, so we need to do something. I mean, it doesn't look as though it's getting better. And every time we think there might be a new budget, there's a stopgap in place, which, again, is just a Band-Aid.
That's I agree. And you know, that's where you start thinking, okay, how are we going to take care of $20 billion of back bills?
Right.
How are we going to start taking care of pension liabilities? How are we going to start taking care of operating? You know, all of this.
You got to find ways.
Yeah.
Now, does Mike Madigan really exist, or is he just like a, is he like a Lord of the Rings thing? You know, it's just a mythical character.
He does exist.
You've seen him.
I've seen him. I've seen him many times.
Oh. I'm going to need proof. You know, because he's been invited on this show now for 918 consecutive shows, and he still hasn't shown up.
He is. He's an interesting man. He, if you haven't seen him. His suits are perfectly situated on his torso body. I mean, mm-hmm. perfect. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looks like he was in a men's magazine modeling suits.
Well, he might as well be somewhere because he's certainly not doing anything for us. Now, one of the reasons Chris is here, he's got an idea for Springfield to make some money, which we haven't heard. We've heard about casinos in the city. We've been talking about casinos here forever. You're talking about casinos there?
We are. We think that, one, I think the
Aren't we gambling enough with money in Springfield? Hello!
Why not just continue the cycle, right?
Right, but you're talking about legitimate gambling, houses of gambling, legal casinos.
Yes. We should have, listen, it should have been a part of the original Riverboat Casino Act, where the city of Springfield was able to get a license. I don't know why it wasn't. Maybe they didn't have enough juice back then. I don't know what was
what
going on.
What is the theory? What is the theory? Why didn't it happen?
You know what? I think one of the theories was they want to put at the state fairgrounds. You put it at the state fairgrounds, you're allowing the state to essentially operate a casino.
Right.
The last time I looked, the state isn't very good at operating anything.
Yeah, it's a
little
bit
allowing them to operate a casino just, you know, probably doesn't make a lot of sense. And those are two of the, you know, the first two proposals that were out there. There was another proposal to put it downtown, which is my thought process. You need to put it downtown in order to get people back downtown and to provide them with, you know, entertainment and convention opportunities. But, you know, they just never followed through with it.
So a portion of the proceeds obviously would then go to help the state.
Well, taxes, obviously.
So one of the issues here is that in the city of Springfield, 40% of the buildings don't pay property taxes. It's like any
really?
Other city in the state because they're all government, not-for-profits, health care. So they don't pay property
taxes. And by
the
way, all legitimately vetted in those areas.
So I want 80% of the revenues, the tax revenues, to come back to the city to, you know what, one, to build new high schools, new grade schools, two, to redo the state fairgrounds, which has $180 million in deferred maintenance, three, to reinvest in the Abraham Lincoln Library and Museum. We haven't updated that library and museum since it opened up. 10 years,
and it's a fabulous museum.
It is a great museum.
It's a great museum.
The fact that you could let it slide is ridiculous.
It's crazy, and you know what? And the convention and tourism business, you know, to reinvest in that, to be able to bring new, better conventions, bigger conventions to Springfield, all those things, you know, kind of tie into the Abe Lincoln kind of what we can do to help Springfield and the state.
Now, you don't like the idea of the casino there.
I just don't. I think maybe just the negative perceptions or misperceptions, mm-hmm. perhaps, that come sometime because you know it's been proposed forever having a Chicago-based casino. I'm not in favor of that. Just my opinion. I just don't want to see that for the city of Chicago. Are you worried at all about the misnomers that go along with that?
You know what? One, I may disagree with you on the city of Chicago casino just because, one, this is a convention town.
Right. And I'm probably in the minority. I think a lot of people would rather have that.
I would have loved to have seen a Chicago casino here, but moreover, I would have loved to when Obama and Rahm Emanuel was the chief of staff President Obama was the president, to see that they would have included Illinois in the PAPSA, which is allowing for sports betting, to be able to create a big sports book with the casino to be able to draw people from the East Coast to here rather than Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine what kind of town this would be if we were able to draw that many people in for the NCAA tournament or
the
Super Bowl?
Exactly. But the gambling business, obviously there's factions in the gambling business too, protecting your own.
Yep.
For instance, we talk a lot about Arlington. Arlington has asked for slot machines forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the casinos have blocked, and the state's blocked Arlington from having slot machines. Now, here's a major employer in Arlington Heights and a guy, the Duchessois family, who's been flushing money for years, keeping this beautiful place open, whereas if he had slots there, it would help. Mm-hmm. And I guess the casino infringement would be what, O'Hare?
Yeah, probably, Des Plaines, you're right. Maybe Elgin to a certain degree, but I'd say probably, Des Plaines, Rivers.
So to me, we're going to have to allow a lot of gambling or it's not going to happen. I believe in free will. I don't believe in stop. People want to buy a lottery ticket, it's your money. Right. Want to go gambling, it's your money. I don't believe it's going to take the state down. I think if you have a problem, you're going to have a problem. But I don't think it's fair to just do it in certain areas and eliminate it in others.
I totally agree with that. I mean, listen, you're authorizing the ability for a a city to be able to have a license. Doesn't mean they're going to buy, or build a casino. You're just authorizing them to have the ability to do so. Whether it's Danville, whether it's Rockford, whether it's Waukegan, whether it's Springfield, you should be able to at least have the ability to do it and then let the locals decide. And that's what I want to be able to do.
What do we know about the viability and the way it changes communities? Like, has Elgin changed positively? What do we know about Aurora? What do we know about the places that have downtown casinos?
I think Joliet is. When Joliet got the Empress and the Harrah's way back in the, mid-90s?
I agree with you. I think the majority of the casino towns in the state have used the money to make their city better, to increase, redevelopment and infrastructure in their
city. I mean, I could be wrong about this, but downtown Aurora certainly seems better, in quotes.
Yep, downtown Elgin is better. Des Plaines was already doing well. I think the proximity was good. One place that I'd probably say that you haven't probably seen as much development is East St. Louis, and just because of the way that they operate city government, it's a little different. So
right.
You haven't seen the prosperity there. But if you look at places like Metropolis, I think you'd find that they've done a better job all the way down south. So I think that, in terms of what the casino could do to the infrastructure and, listen, the charitable giving that these guys have done over the course of the last 20-plus years, you may not see it, but, 25,000 here and 50,000 there helps, organizations, whether it be a cancer run, whether it be a, an MS walk, whatever the case is, they're donating to that stuff every month, every year. So, in terms of what it's the development, not only in the infrastructure, but also the charitable giving, has been positive. I mean, I think one of the things that you wrestle with here is the idea of your morality of gaming versus the economics of it.
What does that come down to, too? Is the government going to take care of what you can and can't do? I mean, it's that bigger picture thing, right? I think people ought to wear helmets and they're riding a motorcycle, but it's not the law.
Don't.
If you want to get on a motorcycle and ride your motorcycle without a helmet,
that's
I
your
think
choice.
You're an
right?
idiot, but it's your choice.
It's your choice, and you shouldn't be. Listen, we overregulate things constantly, whether it be the federal government, whether it be the state government, whether you like Donald Trump or not. He's obviously wanting.
I'm a big fan. I don't know if you're aware.
To lessen regulation, which is great for business, but great for individuals.
Yeah.
We in the state, I don't know if we've necessarily gone that route yet, and we need to be thinking about how do we.
So who's stopping you? Who's blocking you? Who's fighting in this so far?
The amount of positive feedback that we've gotten is probably 90%.
Oh, that's good.
So the 10% that are blocking are who?
People that are morally against gaming.
More Republicans, Democrats, or both?
Oh, I think it's both.
Okay.
I think it's both. I think that when you talk about a gaming bill, I think that, it's so large that, one of the things you weigh is, do you want to put it in a bigger, larger gaming bill and create marriages in order to get something passed? Or do you want to be able to take a piece of legislation like this on its own and to be able to make the argument that, hey, City of Springfield is a lot different than any other city in the state?
It used to be really tough to go through the gaming board and get a license. That used to be like a coveted, piece of paper.
Yeah.
Having that license. Is it still that tough?
It's, you still need the authorization, but the regulations on gaming is still very, very tough coming from the gaming board, and it's one of the most regulated industries in the state.
Yeah, and I don't know that I'm against that because you got to watch that and watch the money. It's like the medical marijuana dispensaries, which we were going to talk about too at some point. The governor on this or not?
I think that the governor has made a statement out there. I'm not going to say that he's against it, but I think that he says that he'd like to see the city of Springfield be more family friendly, more museums, more you know, places for kids to, you know, I'm going to call them waypoints for
kids.
Why
can't you have both?
And you can't have both.
Yeah, Joliet has shown you can have both. They have most of the boats right by the Rialto and the downtown area.
What about the suit rack, Mike Madigan?
Great question. I don't know where his position
is. Well,
how
could you? Because he doesn't talk.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I think we've gained a lot more support than we have negativity, maybe I should say it that way.
Realistic timeline? To at least get your case heard?
Let's put it this way. The extending the session into June mm-hmm. helps, doesn't hurt.
Okay.
Because we just, you know, introduced this 2 weeks before the end of session. Love to be able to see this get done by the end of next May, which would be 2018.
Or
sooner.
Political terms, that's light speed.
That is light speed.
So, without a doubt. Listen, you're always welcome here. You're an interesting guy. I got to watch it like a hawk, but you're an interesting guy. And I do want to talk to you about medical marijuana at some point as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, so. Thanks.
But thanks for being here. And if you want the public to weigh in on this, to say, listen, I care about what happens to Springfield. I want this to move. What do they need to do?
Yeah. I think that every citizen in the state of Illinois.
Just contact the reps and say, I want you to push this.
Yeah. I mean, they should want a vibrant capital city.
Yeah.
We should be looking like, you know, Austin, Texas. We should be looking at Madison, Wisconsin. We should be looking at these cities and go, we want a vibrant city.
Austin and
vibrant
Madison,
state capital.
Pretty good. Oh, pretty good.
They're
pretty
awesome.
Good.
I mean, Chicago is the economic engine of the state.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to have a great state capital that people really want to go to and visit, and the conventions and tourism and all that stuff. You know, you want it to be vibrant.
You got a white paper on this? You got a number on a bill yet or anything?
We did. We actually had it as an amendment on Senate Bill 7. I'm not sure that it's going to necessarily be Senate Bill 7. I don't think it's going to be. I think
okay,
it'll be
so just
else.
Tell your reps you want to push this.
That's exactly
That's
right.
That's it. Nice to see you.
Hey, you too.
And if you want to follow Chris, he's already following you. Chris Stone. He doesn't miss a trick. 925, back with more in a moment on 720 WGN. Texas says Elgin has changed, and the Grand Victoria Casino has a foundation on top of what they pay in taxes. It has over $100 million that's used for things within the community. And another texter says Grand Victoria is the only same texter. Grand Victoria is the only casino that has a foundation on top of business,
and many do,
which you know ought to be part of the deal.
Empress, Harrah's, they all have, you know, charitable foundations, which is great that they donate a lot of their proceeds to.
A15 says gambling costs more in social destruction than it makes in taxes. Well, you know, you could argue that, but the quantifiable data on it,
that's the argument,
is an argument as well.
Yeah.
Let's see. And that's from the 708. Your disrespect for the office of the President of the United States is disrespectful. Your hatred for Donald Trump is worrisome. You need clinical therapy. A couple things. Yes, I need clinical therapy. It doesn't have anything to do with Donald Trump.
We've been saying that for a year.
And I don't disrespect the office of the President of the United States. I disrespect the guy that's in it. That's the difference.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Yarn Croak got it across. Yossi fires. Stop! Cannot step by and a chance now for Smith, who's roaring on him. Scores! Carry on by Yarncroke, and he gains the zone and swept it across. Drive by Ekholm, score!
Dave, I think you'd agree with me. And Dave is one of the great play-by-play guys of all time. I think it's harder to do hockey than it is any other major sport. And there's never been anybody better than Mike Emmert.
Here.
I would agree.
Now, he's our friend, so we're a little biased.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot biased.
But Doc is tremendous. And even though we're pained that the Blackhawks were eliminated in four by the creeps from Nashville, we're pulling for Nashville, mostly to get those yellow sweaters off TV, but also because, you know, you want the team to beat your guys to win it all, don't you?
I do.
I think that's the thought. That's the logic. Doc Emmert joins us now.
You're classics. I'm sitting in a state, Mr. Cochran.
Yes, sir.
That does not have gambling either.
Is that right?
I'm in Tennessee. There's no gambling here.
I didn't know that.
That brings a frown to the face of my sidekick, Mr. Olchek.
How bad?
Especially with the Belmont coming up. And that probably brings a frown to the face of the delightful Miss Darlis with the Belmont coming.
Yes, exactly. I know. I can't wait, Doc.
God, Eddie must have hives.
Yeah, he's going to televise the Belmont. He's Mr. Horse Racing for NBC now, so he'll be at the Belmont. And I suppose legally he can put one down for you if you need to have it done, Andrea.
Ooh, okay, good.
Yeah, he may be able to pull that off. You think Eddie like gets
him old enough? He can give you some advice too.
Perfect. We'll go to.
I think he's probably done on this show.
We'll go to. we'll go to dinner with my winnings, Doc.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. Hey, let me back this up for a second. Let's go all the way back to the sweep. You know, we've all had time to grieve. We've all had time to think about it. Is there something special that Nashville is still doing? Because when Pittsburgh got up 2-0, this looked like this could be a sweep in the other direction. And the league had time to look at that 1-3-1 and make some adjustments. But is Nashville special, or did they get on a week-long run that maybe was unprecedented?
Yes, yes and yes. Yes, they are doing something special, and yes, it still works. Ottawa was doing something similar to that and did tie up Pittsburgh for a while as well. These defensive schemes can work. It caused a very boring game in the first game at United Center, that 1-0 game, and the coach for Nashville, Peter Laviolette, said, we usually generate more chances than we did in that 1-0 game, and sure enough, the next game they won 5-0. And it does work. And if they get it employed, it works really well. They weren't able to do it as effectively in Pittsburgh. But in essence, as you look at the first 180 minutes of this series, Pittsburgh has been able to be dominant for about a total of 15 minutes.
Right.
But for 5 minutes of game one and 5 minutes of game two, when they're dominant, three or four go in the net, and that's all they need. And the rest of the time, if Nashville works their way and does what they want to do, they're okay, but they can't generate the offense. And it's simplistic to say this is offense against defense, but when the two teams are doing what they want to do, it's largely Pittsburgh's offense and it's largely Nashville's defense trying to create chances. And I know that sounds like a bunch of X's and O's, but simpler is, for me, a lot easier way to explain this than to go into coach speak.
Well, but here's the deal. The truth is defense wins in football. And up until, rule changes continue to be made and you're scoring so much, defense can't win. In hockey, you know, superstar centers, of course, it depends on who the superstar centers are, but superstar offenses seem to be able to beat great defenses. Is that going to hold true?
It didn't in the Chicago series, and it didn't in game three. It did in the first two games. But it didn't in game three. As a matter of fact, for the first time in probably since they were teenagers, Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby, the two best centers for Pittsburgh, didn't get a shot on goal.
Yeah, how about that?
And so there you are. So what will happen tonight? I don't know. This is not Killer Kowalski against Dick the Bruiser. We don't know who's going to win.
Right.
Sorry, I alleged something that I shouldn't, right? this is a contest, not an exhibition.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we need a disclaimer.
I'm a believer, Doc. I don't know if you subscribe to this, but when you have a franchise which hasn't had a ton of postseason success, hasn't really had any to speak of up until this year, and the fans get behind it, this team the way they have in Nashville, it's good for the league. And I wonder if it's as crazed down there this week and during this series as it seems when you're watching the games, and all I hear about is how the Predator fans are going absolutely berserk.
Yes, it is. It's out in the street and it's inside the arena too. And if there's a game six, which they dearly hope they can get, and they win this tonight, well, sure, a game six. Picture this. You have all of this lunacy going on during the Country Music Awards, which arrive here and go through next Saturday night.
Yeah, wow.
And the hotel rooms were snapped up for the Country Music Awards at $700 a room. So I don't know if we're going to be in Louisville.
Well, but here's the thing. Let me tell you how much country music drives that town, like you don't know. I have a good friend who I came up with in the business who's a big deal at the company called Viacom, CBS. CBS owns Country Music Television, the CMTs. So a couple of years ago, we were doing the show from Nashville, and they were freaking out because they needed the Bridgestone Arena for the CMT Awards. And the Blackhawks were a win away. And he's going, this is his town.
He's going, you got to do me a favor. I don't know what you say to those guys. We need that building. Right. You go back to Chicago, you eliminate them, and you end this. You end this.
That's what they need.
Well, yeah, with your with your connection on a regular basis with Coach Q,
yeah,
you had more power than he did, that's for sure.
Save country music for the rest of us. That's right.
You were going to suit up a couple times, too.
That's it.
Hey, Doc, the Hawks this year not completely in sync. At times looked a little sluggish. What do they need to do to regroup? Because this team is awesome. They have the potential to bring that cup back to Chicago again next year. What do they do to regroup in the offseason, and how do they kick off next season or this season coming up with the bang that they need?
Doc, we lose Doc?
Oh, such a good question, wasn't it?
That was a great question. Doc went away. Tick, 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 tick. Oh, you know what? What a great cliffhanger for next time.
Oh, there you go.
All right. We set Doc up beautifully with a season-ending cliffhanger. What do the Hawks need for next season? How about that? It's 9:50. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
Huge thanks to Costa Vida. We are celebrating National Tortilla Day today, and they're encouraging diners to Viva La Tortilla. There's free fresh tortillas and their famous smothered sweet pork burrito. At a discount, we are sampling the chicken quesadillas and the steak burritos, the steak tacos today. So they're very good.
Say Viva La Tortilla.
Viva La Tortilla.
There you go.
So thanks, Costa Vida.
Doc Emmerich did call back.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is the cliffhanger.
Yes.
Did he answer your question?
He did. He was very passionate about it, too. And he said, great question, by the way. He said, rest, recover. He did. Doc, back me up. He said they need to rest, recover, and come back strong next year. That is the key to this.
You sure he wasn't talking about me? Because I've had a rough spring, as you know.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. That was for you.
Yeah. It's 9:55. Back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.